This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Sirius XM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. On today's episode, WWE Hall of Famer, TNA Hall of Famer, one of the greatest tag team wrestlers of all time, and deathmatch god, Bully Ray, and I talked to one of the cast members from Young Rock. It's just been renewed for a third season on NBC, and we talk to the man who plays the Iron Sheik on Young Rock, and that's Brett Azar, joins us here on the Busted Open Podcast. Also, big news coming out of New Japan. We have a new United States IWGP champion, and his name is Juice Robinson. We'll talk about that right now on the Busted Open Podcast. Young Rock, it's the hit sitcom on NBC, the number one sitcom on NBC, and the news just broke a couple of days ago that, yes, there will be a season three, no surprise. And one of the stars, and somebody that we get to watch each and every week on that show, and he plays the Iron Sheik, and that is our guest right now. Brett Azar joins us. Brett, how are you this morning?
Yes, Papa, number one, Iron Sheik, number one, season three.
Love it.
How are you, Brett?
I'm fantastic. Again, that news makes my entire year great. So I'm riding high right now.
Brett, can you take us through the process of how you became the Iron Sheik on Young Rock? I'm imagining that you had to audition for it. Were you a wrestling fan? Kind of give us, pull the curtain back and tell us about yourself and how you wound up becoming one of the most legendary characters in the history of this business.
So yes, I was a wrestling fan growing up. I was an Attitude Era boy, big time. But the process to get the job is totally separate from being a wrestling fan. In 2020, all the acting world was shut down in America. And so my fiance and I were in quarantine in our house. We're not leaving the house except for groceries. I'm working out at home. And I went up to her. I was like, since I'm not doing anything where I need to actually be on TV or anything, I was like, I normally have long hair and a full beard. So this is my normal look. I was like, I've never shaved my head before. Let's shave my head. So I shaved it, bicked it, trimmed all this to a 5 o'clock shadow, looked in the mirror, and my fiance, I go like, no, that's not a good look. Grow your hair back now. 2 days later, I got a call to audition for this role that they wouldn't tell me, but for NBC. And they were like, oh, your head shaved already. Good. And I was like, yeah, good. And then they just wanted to see what my body looked like. Next step, it was like, okay, can you read these? Okay, can you do a Persian accent? And then the third step was, okay, yeah, you're doing the Iron Sheik. Can you do these lines as you were the Iron Sheik? And the first time I did it, all the character research I was doing was based on Iron Sheik's promos and Howard Stern Iron Sheik. So I was very loud and eccentric with my auditioning, and they were like, well, we're kind of looking for like the at home chic, the family chic. So it went from I break your back and I'll make your home to, yes, Papa, no problem, chic only family man. So they wanted to see the, you know, the softer side of chic, and apparently I did well with that and got the job.
Now, you mentioned, Brett, that this was during, you know, the heart of the COVID era, and you said that you were locked in your house. How difficult was it filming season one of Young Rock?
That was actually really easy because they were set up to film Young Rock season one in California back in January, February. And when everything started shutting down, they shut down and they moved the whole production to Australia. So in September, they flew us out for season one to Australia. The ride was tough. I mean, it was like 3 days of travel, like just to get to the hotel. And a long, like a 19-hour flight at one point. Oof. But at the time where COVID was going crazy in the US, Australia had it on lock. As soon as you got in there, you got shuffled off into a hotel, locked in for 2 weeks, and you had to get tested on your way in, on your way out of the 2 week quarantine. And then they had border blockages, so no one could travel. It's basically like in the States, you weren't allowed to travel between states. So in Australia, they had that kind of system. You weren't allowed to travel between states. There was no COVID. So once we got out of quarantine, filming season one was a breeze. We could go anywhere. There was no mask. No one was really worried about it. We were testing like 3 times a week, but no one was really worried about COVID. And then half the cast ended up being from Australia, New Zealand area anyway. So it worked out in their favor to be local. And then season two, same deal. We went right back there from September to February.
Brett, you're doing a phenomenal job as Sheik, and I pop every time you're on screen. In your opinion, who else is doing a really great job portraying some of the wrestlers from the past?
I think Soul Man, Rocky Johnson.
Yeah.
He nails the role. Joseph Anderson, it's in his voice. He's got this silky smooth voice that just screams the Rocky Johnson to me. So I enjoy watching as a fan him. I enjoy Andre very much because I know that Matt doesn't have a French accent. So when he's doing it and how they capture him on TV is freaking phenomenal to me. I absolutely love it.
You know,
and
Brett,
and also The Rock's grandmother, and mother, Atta and Anna, both of them portraying mom and grandma, my favorites.
Now, Matt, have you gotten an opportunity? You obviously portray the Iron Sheik on Young Rock. Have you gotten a chance to meet the Iron Sheik? Conversely, how much time have you got to spend with Dwayne, The Rock?
So, Sheiky and I Skype. We Skyped for season one so I could get some character research in. It was tough explaining to him what was going on. You know, he's up there in age. And so I got in contact with him, his management, Carol, his daughters, Nicole. His daughter, Nicole, adopted me as their, like, little brother, which is awesome. But when I first started talking to Sheik and explaining to him what was going on, I was like, yeah, I'm doing a TV show with The Rock, with Dwayne Johnson. We're flying out to Australia. I don't go to Australia, Bubba. I stay here. I in Georgia. No. I'm flying out, and we're going to film on TV for TV. Oh, I go on TV. How much you pay me? No. That's not my thing. I'm the actor. So it took a little while, but finally, around episode three aired, I got a call from Nicole, and they were like, we're sitting down watching right now, and we fucking love you. You're nailing my dad, like, to a T. You're everything that we want you to be, you know, publicly for him. And so that made me really, really proud and humble, as you would say.
You know, Brett, I had the opportunity to talk to you in the cast before season one, before it actually aired. Right. And I remember talking to you. Like, what were you thinking that, like, did you know that this show was going to be such a hit and that we'd be talking about going into season three? Did you have a feeling?
I hoped it, you know, because, you know, not to sound arrogant, but everything The Rock touches turns to gold.
Yeah.
So you knew that there was a chance that this thing could take off. And I think the timing of it was very appropriate because, you know, the US was down and this show is a very, like, bring the family together kind of thing. Which is what we needed at the time. We didn't need more, like, sadistic and harsh shit on TV. So I think the timing of this show coming out really helped with the mood of America. But what it comes down to is the writing. The writers, the more they involve the nostalgia of the wrestling, that's where we're getting our big fans. It's those guys who, like, are like, I remember this. This is bringing me back to my childhood. These behind the scenes stories are amazing. So that's where I see it's doing really well. I only had prayers that this would go beyond season one.
Brett, when it comes to your character of the Iron Sheik, now that we're moving into season three, how much of a role does the Iron Sheik actually have in The Rock's life still?
That's up to The Rock's stories. He was around. Like him and Carol babysat The Rock at some point. So they were very close. So I'm sure The Rock has plenty of, you know, family stories about Sheiky doing something with him. I'm hoping that, like, because I realize there's not much in the modern day timeline with Sheik and Rock. So there won't be much of that, you know, modern day scenes. The latest thing I can think of is when the word jabroni got inducted into the dictionary and they had their little, you know, The Rock gave credit to Sheik, being like, I made the word, people know me for the word jabroni, but it's really the Sheik's word. And the Sheik on Twitter was like, respect the legend. Yes, Bubba. So that's one little skit I can see in the modern day age, but most of the stories are probably going to be in that 10-year-old Rock timeline. And I'm sure there's infinite stories that you can tell. I mean, you could talk for hours about the Sheik just for one day's experience with him, with the amount of shit that he can get up to.
You know, Brett, as somebody who obviously is passionate about pro wrestling, one of the things that I love the most about Young Rock is the timeline of it, where it's very accurate. Like, you know, obviously as a show, you could take certain liberties, but like pretty much the timeline of the WWF, the timeline of Polynesian Pacific Championship Wrestling, it's pretty accurate. So for me, as a wrestling fan, I really respect the time and effort that everybody put in to make sure that it was accurate.
Yeah, they have Brian Gewirtz he was a writer for the WWF way back for years. And he's our consultant when it comes to everything. So he makes sure that everything is as historically accurate as can be. And also he makes sure to respect the names of the wrestlers. Like in one wrestling scene, like I was up against Macho and I did the Achtung and I spit on him. And he's like, yeah, we don't want to discredit the Macho Man family right now. So he's like, he's the one taking care of everything wrestling, and he's on point. He's really killing it as far as his historical accuracy is. And he knows these guys, these characters so well that he gives us advice on like our mannerisms and you know how we hold ourselves, how we wrestle even. So it's really fun to do something so historically accurate.
I'm sorry, keep going.
I enjoy that too greatly because I would watch Sheik and his wrestling mannerisms. You know, he'd get the wide, he'd had the invisible lat syndrome, as we call it. His arms would be out wide and his fingers would dangle. And when I got in the ring and I started doing that without being told anything, Chavo Guerrero was like, oh, you've been researching. You know your shit. You're like, you look just like him doing that. I was like, I know, Bubba. So
Now, Brett, did you have aspirations to ever be a pro wrestler?
Of course. I mean, what little kid didn't? As far as now, I think I surpassed it where, you know, a lot of wrestlers become actors and it doesn't go the other way. Yeah. Once you're the actor, you don't go back to the wrestling. So I think I skipped over my chance of being a full-time wrestler, but I would love to get in the ring and do some like guest appearance spots or, you know, come get called out by a heel and kick his ass being like, oh, so some actor thinks he's a wrestler because he plays on TV. That'd be fun to collaborate with anybody. The WWE right now would be amazing.
That would be cool. How has your life changed? Because, you know, I saw you yesterday in Baltimore, and I know you've been doing a lot of guest appearances and meet and greets. Like, how much has your life changed since this show has become a hit?
It's weird. Like, this show solidified my adulthood. I bought a house. I have a family. I'm married. Like it did more than just career. It advanced my whole life into maturity, wow. Which I'm very thankful for. But also it opened doors to meet people who I never, even you, people I never thought I'd be associated with because of this role. Doing the meet and greets, you know, I'm sitting down to WWE stars who I idolized as a kid. And now they're like, no, bro, you're one of us now. And it's like, this is fucking nuts. So a lot of times I feel like an imposter. Or a poser, you know, being the actor at these wrestling autograph signings. And they're like, I'm an actor, but I play a wrestler on TV. And I forget who it was, but he goes, bro, me too. And this was like a Hall of Fame wrestler. He's like, what do you think we all are? We're actors playing wrestlers on TV. I was like, you know, that's a good point, but is it, you know, it's like, so it kind of made me feel better with that. But it's so special to me that I can walk up to Rikishi and go, oos! And he gives me a big hug. Like, what? Like, for what? I feel so blessed. And it's very humbling, Bubba, to have these guys as considered, you know, friends because of an acting role.
Dave.
No, I was going to say, I'm Dave. That's Bubba. But go on.
Right. Where are you living these days? And what is your day-to-day like? And what other roles are you looking to get into?
We're in northern New Jersey. We were in the city parts of New Jersey for 12 years. And we moved out here during COVID just because we wanted to get away from city. And now we have deer in our backyard. And
LeGreca's got bears. Different. You got any bears?
There is a bear going around, and he's gotten into my trash twice so far. I'm pissed.
Welcome to the sticks, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, I'm setting up cameras so I can find him and wrestle him. And that'll be my training for season 3.
Dude, I have it because Brett and I are kind of similar. Not obviously with talent wise and strength wise, that goes to him. But right,
kind of similar.
but we both moved to the sticks during COVID. I lived in the city. He lived in the city, and my wife fell in love with this area. And like I'm struggling with it too. I'm finally getting used to like the bears come in and having to interact with the wild up here on the mountain. So it's pretty cool. It's definitely an adjustment, Brett.
Yeah, it is, and. One thing is raccoons make some weird noises at night, man. That's one thing I never experienced.
That's awesome, Brett. I love it. Brett, you know, the other thing that I love about the show is that it's obviously towards a mass audience, but there's also some things that are thrown out for the wrestling fan. I was talking about with Bully, like with the inside jokes about Tony Atlas that's thrown in there and all the episodes, you know, that I die that most people probably watch the show wouldn't get, but right. If you're a diehard wrestling fan, you catch it. But also, yeah, like,
I know what you're talking about too, because someone is like, what's up with the jokes with the feet? And I'm just like, that's a real thing. Like, they didn't make that up. That's Tony. And it's awesome to, you know, actually get these jokes are based on reality. That's the best part about it. They're not really making that much up. You're right. You're cool as a fan to see it all, you know, to know the inside jokes. It's very cool the way they work it into the show.
And also too, Brett, like, and this is something that we spoke about a lot on this show. There was a bit of a WrestleMania tease a few weeks back on Young Rock between Roman Reigns and The Rock.
When we were filming that, I felt like such an idiot because I didn't even realize that plug until it aired. And I watched it and I was like, wait a minute. Is that kind of We were filming that scene, and it didn't even register that that's what they might be doing. But yeah, after I saw it air, I was like, oh shit, WrestleMania 39, that's right. Yeah, we'll see what happens there.
Well, if you didn't get that one, did you get that they're trying to tease Rocky running for president?
Well, and it does actually, they were accurate with the way it timed out. Like if Kamala or someone wins two terms in a row, 2032 would be historically accurate or accurate for him to run. It's there. I don't ever see him being walking away from acting world though, and having enough time to.
Oh, being the president is the same thing.
I know, but I don't know. I don't know. I don't see him doing it, honestly. I see him staying with the movie roles and everything else that he's got going on.
I don't know. 2032 is a long time from now.
This is a long time for Brett.
People change. Goals change. Look at you. Look how much your life has changed in just a few years.
Very true. I went from being known for my naked Terminator body to being a Iranian wrestler hated by half the world and loved by the other half.
All right. So now, Brett, that you're being recognized and people are asking, what's the strangest fan request that you've gotten?
Not related to Young Rock or related to Young Rock?
Either or.
So in Terminator Genesis, when I was...
Wait, hold on. I think you accidentally muted yourself, Brett. There you go. Now you're good.
Am I back?
You're back.
You're back.
Okay. When I was filming Terminator Genesis, old Arnold fights young Arnold. Old Arnold is really Arnold. Young Arnold is me. And they CGI my face. My wardrobe was a sock that got tied on.
Okay.
And I told this story before in interviews. And
was it a 4-6, a 6-8, an 8-12?
You'll have to watch. there's a paparazzi photo out there with this sock on. Just saying. But after I did one of these interviews and I was talking about that scene fighting Arnold where it was the most embarrassing time of my life. And, you know, now Arnold sees me. He's like, I don't recognize you. You're wearing too much clothing. You're not Brett. But he knows me as the naked guy. A fan like slipped into my DMs. He goes, do you have the sock? Can you sign it? I'll pay you $1,000 for it. And I was like, you want my cock sock? Like, real? Like that was a little much. That was a weird one.
That's a little much. That's a little much.
That's a weird one.
Yeah.
So that one sticks out in my mind. Other ones is like guys want me to put them in the camel clutch.
So I'm Dave, like, you offered him $1,000 for his sock?
Thanks, Bully. That was nice.
Yeah, no problem. Any chance I get to throw you under the bus?
That's fine. Hey, it's memorabilia, you know?
Resell it on eBay.
Strangely enough, production kept the sock. So, yeah.
Okay. Now, you mentioned the wrestling because, you know, people do ask for the camel clutch. Who helped you with the in-ring for the wrestling?
Oh, Chavo Guerrero literally put us through the ropes. As soon as we got out of quarantine season one, we went into wrestling 101. And we, you know, we started with the basics, running the ropes, doing all our falls and rolls. And we did the full training of a starting out wrestler. Then we progressed into the holds and chaining with each other.
Sweet.
Chavo did it right. And it was funny because when we first started training, I was super excited because I was like, oh, we're going to do it all. We're going to do all the wrestling. They're not going to have stunt guys for us. Like, this is what I fucking wanted. And some of the other actors were like, wait a minute. They don't have stunt guys? We're doing this all ourselves? I was like, yeah, man, get ready. Like, let's go. And Chavo stopped. Like, he heard the whispers going around. He goes, guys, you've seen Glow, right? He's like, I turned those women into passing for wrestlers on TV. They had, some of them had zero athletic ability. You guys are starting out with something. Like, trust me, I'll make it work.
And did you gain a new respect for the craft, the art form that is pro wrestling once you learned the very basics?
Absolutely, Mr. Dudley. And it wasn't about, it's, the funny thing is the bumps and everything, I expected to be what they were. It was the simple task of coming off the rope. If you do it wrong, like when we were first starting that, I didn't imagine how much that hurt.
So wait, let me stop you right there. Were you training in an 18 by 18 with cable rope or a 20 by 20 with actual rope?
Cable rope.
So cable rope hurts considerably worse than rope. So go ahead, keep going.
And so when we were just learning how to come off the rope, half of us kept doing it wrong. Like we had to find that sweet spot. But until you did, you're walking around with a bruise across your back for a few days. And everyone's like, guys, what have you been beating yourselves up? I'm like, no, we're just bouncing off the ropes. It's the simple little things that I'm just like, God, like that's, I didn't register that. You thought it would be meaningless, but every little thing adds up to your performance. And even when we were doing rolls, I haven't done a somersault since I was like 8 years old, you know? And he wanted us to do somersaults so we got used to, you know, falling and being able to protect our head no matter which way we fall, protect our neck. And I did my somersault, and I stood up, and I got vertigo, and I passed out and fell down. Wow. And then I got back up and did it again. And I could not do a somersault without getting vertigo. And everyone's laughing at me because Big Bad Cheeky can bench 450 pounds and squat 400 pounds, but he does a somersault and he passes out. So it was, you know, the respect goes to that. Just, you guys are full on athletes, regardless of, you know, it being a scripted show or whatever. The fucking action is fucking action. It's real. It's you're putting your bodies through hell to tell the story.
Brett, I'm interested to know what it was like now that you're a part of a series and you're a regular on a series. What's it like waiting to hear the news if your show is going to be renewed or not? I would have to think there's some anxiety and kind of waiting to hear if the show is going to be renewed for another season.
Oh yeah. If you're an actor and you're not acting, you are considered jobless. And I consider myself homeless and jobless as soon as the job ends. You know, it's like, okay, how much longer can I support my family running on autograph signings until I get my next hit? So it means everything in the world to hear that you get season three. And even with there's more anxiety to it because yeah, you get signed for season three, but then you don't know how involved you are until you get the scripts. So first season I had a few episodes, and then next season I got a lot more episodes. Second season I was in a lot more, which was great, which was everything I could ask for. Now third season, I don't know where it's going to go. So it's like, yes, we got season three. Great. I'll be guaranteed like a couple episodes, but I don't know how many. You know, I don't know what kind of role they bumped Andre up to a main role, and he had these long scenes where he had a lot of monologue-y stuff with young Dewey. If they take me and do that, that's my dream. Because the more acting I do, that's what I'm there for, you know? I'd love to have this relationship that Andre and Dewey have in the third season. Like that would be everything I could ask for.
What you're doing now by portraying the Iron Sheik, do you think this helps you past a series like Young Rock? Like what you've done so far, like when it comes time for another role, I'm sure you're proud of your work, but it's like, does this pigeonhole you in a way, or does this open you up and expose you to your range and the potential that you have?
I think that's more of what it does. I think it opens up many doors, because not only is it you know, a legitimate network. It all comes down to who you work with and what you're working on in the acting world. If they know that you're working with big names and you're pulling it off and those big names like you, you will keep working. But as far as my acting, it's showing that I can portray different, you know, I can do comedy. I don't always have to be a thug. And I can do something that's not my actual voice. But even still, like, this gig alone, the only other thing I was most famous for was Terminator, and that was just my body and not my face. So this is the role that actually gets my face on camera, albeit it's exactly like Sheik's face, but, you know, it's at least my eyes blinking, you know, that they get to be on camera. So it does, I believe it does wonders in the world of my career. It's a definite resume highlight where a casting director will be like, oh yeah, he's that guy. You know, you jump a couple steps in the auditioning process for the next project. Or maybe you get that direct call, like, we love him, we love what he does, we want him for this role, what's it gonna take, kind of thing. That's as an actor, that's all you can dream of, to get that direct call, like, hey, I got a role for you. Not, hey, I got a role that I want you to audition for. It's hey, I got a role for you. And those are the best words you can ever hear from a casting director.
Brett, congratulations. You know, for getting season 3 of Young Rock. You've been amazing in the role as the Iron Sheik. You can watch Young Rock each and every Tuesday night, though I think that's going to change for season 3. I'm hearing it's going to be moved to Fridays. So stepping up.
You know more than I do.
Hey, listen, man, that's why I host the show. Brett, thank you so much for the time. Congratulations. And we got to get you back on soon.
Thank you, Baba. La Greca number one. Baba Ray Dudley number one. Yes, Baba.
Hi, everyone. Lindsay Rhodes here. A little bit sad that the NFL draft is in the rearview mirror. It's one of my favorite things on the NFL calendar, but it gave us lots of new things to dive into on my podcast, The NFL Roadshow. Who got better? Whose picks left us scratching our heads? Which players do we need to put on our radar now for fantasy? It's a lot to digest, and we will do so with new episodes every Thursday for the rest of the offseason. So please join us, subscribe, and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Talking about Capital Collision that took place this past Saturday night. Was watching it on Fight TV. And Bully, you're absolutely right. Think about that main event that we saw. Tanahashi, your IWGP United States champion. Ospreay, who feels like he was cheated because he was out with COVID. Juice Robinson, who just came back as part of the Bullet Club. And John Moxley. That is a star-studded main event at Capital Collision. And I also think that match, before we get into what happened at the end of that matchup, and also Bully, and I hear you, Bully, calm down. I will answer the question that you posed about Juice Robinson and how you can get him to the next level, which I actually think is happening as we speak. But it's also about building stories, and also stories that could play out next month at the Forbidden Door pay-per-view. And again, I don't think, Bully, that you can just, you know what, say, hey, New Japan, AEW, it should be a really good relationship. But what a great start to this relationship. To have this pay-per-view and to have this show sell out in less than an hour. Also, judging from what we saw on Saturday night, the story between Moxley and Tanahashi will continue. You're probably going to see Tanahashi against Moxley at the Forbidden Door. But to get back to your question, Bully, about Juice Robinson, and this is something that New Japan does perfectly. And a lot of time in the WWE, what do we see, Bully, with the WWE a lot? We see 50-50 booking. And a lot of times with 50-50 booking, it's hard to get over because you get a win, you create a buzz, and then the next week, you lose. With New Japan, Bully, They go all in. I'm going to bring up an example of somebody that, if you're a newer fan, you might find hard to believe. But Bully, there was a time that I did not see anything in Kenny Omega. I just didn't see it. You know, here's a guy.
I mean, a lot of other people felt the same way. It took Kenny a long time to find his way.
Yeah, yes. And you have people like Jim Cornette that won't let go of the blow-up doll and the Invisible Man, which I get. But there was a time this great scientific wrestler, this great technical wrestler, was wrestling against Invisible Men and blow-up dolls. That did happen. But when New Japan wanted to take him to that next level, what did they do? They put him in the ring with Tanahashi, and they had him beat Tanahashi. Okada, when they wanted Okada to get the next level and probably get some of the stink off of Okada from his time in TNA, Bully, what did they do? They put him in the ring with Tanahashi. And what happened, Bully? Probably one of the greatest series of matches that we've seen in the last 20 years happened between Kenny Omega and Okada. And then now, going into last night, who's your IWGP United States champion? It's Tanahashi. Who's your IWGP United States champion right now? It's Juice Robinson. I say it all the time on this show, Bully. The greatest star in the history of New Japan Pro Wrestling is Tanahashi. And all you have to do is not only look at the championships and the accolades, how Tanahashi, to me, Bully, single-handedly brought New Japan from out of the cellar to where it is right now, and continuously. And it doesn't matter how many times he gets beat, how many times he loses, he's still the greatest, and he just puts people over all the time. Now, did Juice beat Tanahashi? Technically, no. He did it in that match, but it doesn't matter. Who is your champion going in, and who's your champion now? It's Juice Robinson.
One of the things that I love that you just said is that Tanahashi can keep on losing. That's how you know that you're truly over and what type of talent you are and what type of talent the office has.
Yes.
Tanahashi not only keeps himself over because he's a legend, and I agree with everything that you've said about Tanahashi. I think he's one of the most phenomenal performers in the history of New Japan, on par with all of the great New Japan legends, whether you want to say a Chono or a Muda or any other great Japanese star that was homegrown in Japan. Tanahashi had the glitz and the glamour. He had the ability in the ring. He had a very unique look. He looked cool at all times. Great, great command of Japanese psychology. I love when he did his interviews, how he's always so very gentlemanly and soft-spoken, but then in the ring was a tough guy and a badass, credible to the umpteenth degree. Like we were talking about earlier, big win for Juice. We'll see where it goes. What do you think could be next for a Tanahashi?
It's got to be Moxley. I mean, it has to be Moxley. I have a feeling we're going to see Tanahashi and Moxley. Here's the thing, and this, I don't know if you can give any more credit than this. Moxley, I think if you were to ask him top three things of why he left WWE and moved on from WWE, I guarantee you one of those top three reasons was to be able to face Tanahashi in the ring at New Japan.
Listen, Moxley had a variety of reasons. I'm sure one of those big ones is what you just said, because we obviously Moxley wants to go out there and he wants to do a little bit everywhere. He's not just an AEW guy. He's traveling around. He's doing everything from GCW,
yep,
you know, AEW, New Japan. He wants to get out there. He wants to spread his wings, be a true artist in the wrestling industry, be a real journeyman. You know, when you're in the world of the WWE, that's all you know. And Mox, you know, Mox came up in, what do you come at? He came up in CZW, right?
Yes. Yes.
Come up in CZW. You get called into the Performance Center. You become a product of the WWE, which is a great thing. But once you spent as much time as Mox spend there, you know, sometimes guys want and gals want to spread their wings. They want to go do something else. They're tired of living, you know, living in that same bubble. And he's definitely one of those guys. For others, it's all they want to do.
Busted Open is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. The producer is Gabby Laspisa. The associate producer is Andre Viola. Sound design by Neri Bailon. Special thanks to SiriusXM Senior Vice President of Sports Programming and Podcasting, the legendary Steve Cohen, and SiriusXM Fight Nation Program Director, Mother Marissa, Marissa Rivas.
SiriusXM Podcasts.